Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we talk about the book The Courtyard, written by Alexa Morris. The Roving Mike heads to an art show at Fountain Street Church and talks to three local artists. April Snowcraft returns to talk about competing in the National Physique Championships. And the largest RV show in the state is headed to DeVos Place in downtown Grand Rapids for the 20th year. We get a preview of that as well.
The Courtyard's written by Alexa Morris along with Benjamin Parquette. Let's talk about the storyline in the heart of Nazi-occupied Paris. One Jewish family is protected by their neighbors, dot, dot, dot. We speak to you, Alexa Morris. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for getting up early. Your Northern California home is where you are. Your best-selling work is working, and I say best-selling, although you're on your first novel, correct?
I am, yes, yes. I am working on that right now. Coming soon, hopefully.
Yes. You grew up in the suburbs of D.C. You dabbled in several jobs and more, world of nonprofits, where you remain to this day. But yes, co-authoring The Courtyard. What's it about, Alexa?
Thank you for asking. So it's about Ben Parquette's time in hiding in Nazi-occupied Paris with his family, his parents and his two older brothers. It's called The Courtyard because it's named after a specific courtyard where my co-author grew up. And just to tell you a little bit about this courtyard, yeah, I think when most of us picture a courtyard, we picture a place of quiet reflection with ivy-covered walls, at least that's what I pictured from my childhood books. But this was a huge, busy courtyard, a place of industry. Ben's father worked there as a varnisher by trade. His workshop was in a unit in the courtyard. Their family lived there in a small apartment. It's in the woodworking district, and there were tradesmen working outside. There was often an Italian painter who liked to sing opera while he painted outside, a busker who visited the courtyard who played the accordion while coins rained down from the surrounding units. It was a pretty magical place for Ben to grow up. But what's really important about this courtyard is when the Nazis took Paris and they started arresting the Jewish citizens there, it's also where Ben and his family hid, protected by their neighbors. They hid in a warehouse there for over 2 years, protected by their small community.
And dot, 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 the story goes on. Is this such, you're described by Kirkus Reviews, a mesmerizing, nightmarish story that for once, and I guess I'll give it away, has a happy ending?
That is correct. And that's, I think, what differentiates his story from many other tragic stories of the Holocaust. This is actually a story where everything turned out okay, where there was a happy ending. The family was protected. It's also a really, I think, timely, a life-affirming story of neighbors standing up and doing the right thing, even though they did that at great risk to themselves. Their upstairs neighbor, Madame Nicola, she happened to work at the police station. Because she did, she saw that their names were on the list of names of people to be arrested. She rushed home during her midday break and pounded on their door to warn them that they needed to flee. The other neighbors provided food for them, provided the warehouse where they hid. It's a story of people doing the right thing, and that feels pretty resonant to me these days.
Yes, and it looks like another theme, a much-needed reminder of how a small group of people can make a difference. You mentioned Benjamin and, of course, his story. How did you come to play in writing The Courtyard, Alexa?
Well, Ben is my father-in-law, actually, so I've known him for over 25 years. He's a wonderful human being. Everybody who meets him just immediately falls in love with him. He's 92 years old now, but well through his 70s, he could out-bike or out-hike any of us. And anyway, because I've known him and I've heard his story, I knew that he wanted to write it. And together, we decided to do it as a joint project. And I'm so grateful to him for sharing his story with me and for trusting me with it.
And again, even deeper themes. I mean, it is a story of how goodness can prevail in darkness. Anything that you learned from this experience?
Well, one of the things I really learned is a question that I like to ask myself on an almost daily basis these days, and something that I ask people when I talk about the courtyard, and that is I ask them to think about what would you do for your neighbor? Because what the risk that these people took, that their small community took to protect them, I mean, it's no exaggeration to say that they would have been tried as traitors. They would have probably been executed if that had been discovered. And what they did was in some ways small. They provided food. They provided shelter. They warned them, but they were very big actions in the life of this family. They saved this family's life. And because of that, I have my own family. So I ask people to think about what they would do, and I hope that I would do what they did. But I don't know if we know that until we're tested.
Yes. And how is it writing a first novel?
Oh, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's exciting to be able to make up facts and make up stories versus actually really having to adhere to the strict narrative, although I had such a good time working with Ben and learning all about this very important time in history that I had previously no real deep knowledge of.
Anything else you'd like to share, Alexa Morris, on behalf of The Courtyard?
Yes, thank you very much, Shelley. I would like to ask your listeners, if this story sounds at all familiar, or if you think you might be able to help, we are trying to locate the descendants of these neighbors. We want to thank them for what they did. They deserve to be recognized as righteous among the nations, which is an honorific that is awarded to non-Jews who came to the aid of Jews during the Holocaust. But we have to find them. And that's been tricky because Ben was a boy and he knew them only by Madame Nicolas, Monsieur Thibault, their last names, their surnames. So if you think you might be able to help, please reach out to me via my website, which is alexamorris.com. That's MORRIS.com. I would be, and Ben would be, profoundly grateful to finally give these people the recognition that they deserve.
Thank you for that call to action. The Courtyard, Alexa Morris, along with Benjamin Parkett. Any other resources for us to get the book?
Oh, the book is available online and wherever books are sold. So whichever, however you like to buy your books.
That's where we go. Thank you for this conversation. Please take care. Rubbing Mic heads to an art show at Fountain Street Church. We speak with three local artists sharing their work in pastel, woodworking, and quilting. Meet Vivian and Jeff Grill and Tom Dandridge. All right, Vivian, let's talk first of all about you and how exciting this opportunity is to share what, your quilts?
Yes, my quilts. I've been art quilting for about 10 years. Before that, I was an RN, and I had a variety of different jobs, and the most recent one that I retired from was a surgical nurse at St. Mary's Hospital.
Thank you for your service. Did you quilt while you nursed?
Some, but we were also raising a family at that time and busy with remodeling a house, so not as much as I've done since I retired.
We're going to take a look at a couple, not necessarily your favorites, but some must-sees. Would we describe this as an art show or, again, an opportunity for you and Jeff and Tom to share your talents?
Yeah, it is an art show, and we're all together here in the Keeler Lounge. And Tom has paintings, I have art quilts, and Jeff has turned wood. So there's a variety of things, but we all have a similar theme, and that Jeff has the wood turning, and Tom's are outdoor landscapes, and my quilts have a lot of landscape themes in them, too.
Wonderful. We'll get back to your quilts. Let me talk to you, Jeff. Your wife has dropped your niche. Tell us more.
Well, I started turning about 25 years ago.
Can you say turning?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You got to give me the 101s.
Okay. Yep. And a lot of it was just, just doing basic bowls. She found a lathe for me, which actually was homemade and turned backwards. So I learned to do things backwards, and then
sometimes that's how we learn.
Yeah, four or five years later, I actually bought a lathe and had to.
Now you're saying lathe.
Lathe, L-A-T-H-E, lathe. Yeah.
And what is that for the non-art person?
It's a machine that takes a block of wood and turns it, and then you put a sharp tool of some sort into it, and it takes all the corners off and makes things round, typically.
What would be an example, as I'm looking at, as
a bowl? Yes.
Yeah, bowl is I think the first thing that most people think of when they think of turned wood.
But you're also called a woodworker?
Yeah, yep. I have taken it from strictly doing bowls to embellishing and doing all sorts of art things on the wood and adding unturned things to the wood as well.
We'll ask about some of your work here. I come to you, Tom Dandridge. Wonderful artwork on the wall. What do you do so well?
Well, I just enjoy trying to capture local environmental scenes that I have liked. Each one of them has some memory associated with it. I've been doing this for 20 years since I've been living here. Retired about 20 years ago and enjoyed doing this. Have several major artists locally. Larry Blobitz and Jim Markle were good friends who are well-known artists and who really gave me a lot of guidance.
What's your media here?
All of it's pastel.
Pastel, yes. Are you trained in this work?
Not at all. It's except for what I just mentioned, having good friends who are exceptional, who looked over my shoulder and given me some lessons.
Yeah, let's hope everyone purchases each and every piece for all included. Tom, I'm going to stay with you before we go for a little walk around. Here we are, as we mentioned, with Vivian in the Keeler Lounge. What is this opportunity for you all to get together and show?
Well, it's, as I was saying just before you got here, I just really am humbled to be in a show that combines my work with the quilts and with the extraordinary bowls that Jeff makes. It feels like it's a wonderful composition, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
And this is, the Keeler Lounge is a popular, I'll say, place, not only for your Fountain Street members, but for those who looked at art. I'll get back to Jeff on art prize history, but how would you describe this lounge?
It's I don't know how to describe it other than it's an important meeting place for people that are at Fountain Street. When you're in here, this is a site for lots of just good conversations. Maybe after the service, people will come back together here and talk about what they've experienced.
And now they get to talk about your art.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
Bring me back to your world of quilting and what we see. Maybe a couple of examples.
One of the things I've really liked to do is explore with the log cabin pattern. So this larger one over here is done in the log cabin pattern, but it's a contemporary design. It's not a traditional design, and it's made out of silks and wools and men's ties and hand-dyed fabrics.
Is there a tie from Jeff in there?
Yes, I think there is. But people that know I do quilting like to give me old ties, so I always have a good supply of old ties that I've used in certain pieces. So,
how would one use this? Again, all available for purchase. Is this a wall hanging, for lack of better terms, or
yes.
Is it functional?
Yes. No, it's a wall hanging. It's one of the larger ones I've done, and gosh, I don't know how big it is.
Yeah, well, it's big. We'll show the pictures. Tell me, how does one quilt? Where do you start?
I start with putting pieces of fabric together. In the log cabin pattern, you do different strips into a square style, and then I unite all the squares into a pattern by machine stitching, and then I put a backing on it. All quilts are three pieces. They have a front piece, a center batting, and a back piece, and then they're quilted, and that means stitching through all three layers. So I do that with a machine also. And some things, some quilts here I've done some hand embroidery on and hand embellishing on top of that.
Yes. Again, in different colors and certainly fabrics and more. Do you name your quilts?
Yes, everyone has a name.
Pick another.
Sometimes they don't. they don't always go exactly way, you know, a name that you'd expect. This quilt over here that I call Anthropology, I made out of rust-dyed fabric. So I took fabric, and I took different metal items that I knew would probably make some rust on the fabric, and I put them in the fabric in vinegar water and then wrapped the metal pieces in that and let them sit for several days, then unwound them, and then the rust made patterns on the fabric. So that made unusual patterns, so I called that Anthropology because it seemed kind of earthy to me and basic forms coming up. And then I added some stitching on the top of that quilt also, embroidery stitching.
And how did you learn how to quilt?
Well, I started sewing when I was a child, and sewing even doll clothes for my dolls, and then went to clothing for myself, and I sewed clothing for my family for a while. And then I guess when I had a home, I got interested in making quilts to kind of decorate different bedrooms. But those were mostly from patterns. But Jeff and I decided one year we were going to go to an art school in Tennessee, Arrowmont School of Art. We took week-long classes, and I took a class in art quilting. And I had never heard of art quilting, and I was very lost and very surprised at the process. But I was very intrigued that I could just make my own patterns, kind of sew what I wanted to sew. I didn't always have to sew in straight lines or make special things that had already been made. So I just kind of started putting fabric together and had ideas.
That's one half of the artistic family. Now back to you, Jeff. Did you enjoy this wonderful workshop that took you down south?
Yeah. I had gone a couple of years in a row with some friends. I had a mentor who said, if you really want to learn how to turn wood, you should take classes from, professionals. And so I'd been down to Arrowmont a couple of times, and I suggested Viv might want to try and come along, and so she went, looked through the catalog and found a piece, and so we went several times together. It was really a thing that refined and taught me to turn and do things that were out of the normal, not just a little round bowl or a little cup or something like that. And so I mean I was trained as an architect. I worked at Grand Valley State as a university architect for a few years, and then when we moved to across the river, mm-hmm. and also as a hospital architect at Butterworth, that the ability to sort of visualize and to sketch ideas and things has really guided and influenced how I do things now, and not many people who turn wood actually, they usually just throw a chunk of wood on the lathe, turn it till it's round, and then try and figure out what they can do with it. But I might start that way, but then I sketch and come up with, I might find 5 or 6 or 8 different things I could do with that particular piece of wood by drawing, rather than turning and maybe ruining a piece that it really could have been something much better.
It's really behind the scenes, and of course,
while you're here.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, your turn to choose a piece to describe here.
Oh, gee. Well, that was kind of an interesting,
Is that on the table over here?
The table, there's about a 18-inch bowl. And I did this when I was down at Arrowmont. I think I took the bowl because I couldn't figure out what to do with it. It was so big, and it was real plain.
But it looks nice on that area, yeah.
Uh-huh. And the turner that I was working with was a guy from New Zealand. And one of the, and I took it in and I said, this is, and there are, I think there were like 12 other turners at the, in these classes.
That's what you call it, turners.
Yeah. 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 At least that's. Yep. Yep. And I couldn't figure out what to do with it, but we had to do something because it was just a plain wood bowl. But I could tell there was some potential there. And he suggested that I try to, I don't think it has a name, but there's a clay studio there, then they were making pots and things. And so they took the slurry. He said, get some slurry, and we can put a pattern on the dry wood, and then very quickly, as soon as it dries, then we'll take a torch. Okay. So I took a butane torch, and burnt all of the entire thing. And then what happened? It will take the dry, now dry slurry, and it just falls off, and it becomes a wood pattern.
Yes. Very symmetrical in a way, yes.
Just completely changed it. It's the only bowl I've ever done that way, but it's still, it's fun to try new things, and I do drawings of things to help me.
You've been an art prize entrant.
Yeah, I think I've been either four or five art prizes.
Yes, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Isn't your son quite involved in art?
Much more so than I. He does a living doing that. He does bronze.
Where do we see his sculpture downtown?
Oh my goodness! Well, he did his first one was done. He did a bust of Duncan Little Fair. About 20 years ago, probably. And he's done, he's currently doing a piece of, or he's doing a full life, a but larger than life piece on Don Lubbers.
I'm not going to say last but not least, but it's time to talk your talents, Tom Dandridge. You mentioned you're not, quote, professionally trained, but have you always dabbled in art?
I think I always have. I think ever since I can remember when I was in fourth grade trying to put together pictures. At one point around that time, I wanted to learn how to clone irises. That's always been a theme. I think as... When I first came here in 1996, I came here. Don Lubbers invited me to come here to help set up an entrepreneurship program at Grand Valley, which involves creativity, so that's always been a theme for me. As far as my paintings, as I look at every one of these, each one of them has a story to it. I mean, each one of them, oh, that's Glen Arbor. That's when I was up there doing something. Or, oh, that's Beaver Island. And there's one painting here which... I did as a Christmas card, so I did the painting and then got a company to reduce it in size and to print multiple cards from it, and I've done that for 30 years. So there's some of my friends that have a collection of all 30 of my Christmas cards. So
that's just... Well, again, your art hanging on the walls, they say, up for sale as all. Pick a couple and go into detail.
I'm not sure what kind of detail you'd like me to go into.
It's called storytelling.
Storytelling, all right. Well, we're looking at two across from us that are both different views of the Glen Arbor area. Each one of them, we were staying in a different home or a different place, so each one I can remember where I was as we were doing that. Down farther, there's a larger picture of the Kalamazoo River. That's from a time I was staying there. So each one has some
story.
Kind of a personal connection to some time that I was at that location.
But yet many have been to Glen Arbor or have seen the Kalamazoo River or Beaver Creek, so we can take a little bit from you. And do you give your artwork titles?
Pretty much just the title of where the location was, almost all of them. There's a couple of them where we're looking at a painting over here of a tree with a branch with drips coming down from it. For some reason, that's called Serenity, just because it's a very peaceful-looking picture to me. Obviously, it's not any location. It's just a beautiful.
Let's talk to my next guest because, not sure if she trains in the snow, but she trains for a winning competition because she's won two of the biggest shows, Masters Bikini Western NPC and Grand Rapids Physique, over 70 longevity earned. We reach back to you, April Snowcraft, to get inspired in this new year and this new month where it looks like most of us want to work on our fitness goals, and you are all about age-defying fitness. Good morning to you, April Snowcraft.
Good morning, Shelley. My hopes are today that I reach someone out there in your listening area that they need to understand, they need to believe in themselves and all that you are, and know that there is something inside you that is greater than any obstacle. And boy, we sure have the obstacles every day as we get out of bed trying not to look like we're looking for quarters. Some days I wake up and I hurt, and some days I feel like a million bucks. And I'm just so happy I wake up each day.
There is a bottom line there. Setting the scene again about you, April, on how at any age we can be inspired. But you're very upfront with you're over 70, yet educate us. When I look at the pictures, you've got more muscles than an 18-year-old.
Well, some people call them sloppy leftovers, you know, and I would rather come in worn out than rusted out. So you got to keep moving. I don't care what you do, whether it's walking. You know, we're all different types of exercises. I know you enjoy running, walking.
Yep.
I do too. I just happen to be one of those people that got bit by the fitness bug. And the one reason I did was I read Arnold's book, his encyclopedia of bodybuilding, back when I was only 28 years old. And my doctor told me I might have cancer. And I tell you what, when I read that you could change every cell in your body, and it takes approximately 7 years to really build your body and change those cells. So why not start today? Not because it's a new year, but yeah, that's a good excuse if you want to follow the time thing. The thing that I'm learning about age is no matter your age, you got about 20 pounds of goodness to be collected for release into the world and a 5-pound bag of time to fit it in. So what's your excuse? I've got all the excuses that I accept for not working out today, and there's all types of ways to exercise. It's not just, strength training. You know, there's flexibility, there's mobility, agility, and as we get older, you know, our tendons and our ligaments, we got to be very careful. And this cold weather today, when I was walking the dog, you could freeze a lung easily.
It's upon us. Let's get back to more of your inspiration. And I use the word, you've won a Masters Bikini Western NPC and a Grand Rapids Physique over 70. I don't mean to jest with the word bikini, but you've got to show off your body.
Well, yeah, there's a few wrinkles in it, but, you know, you can see the muscle that is still there. I never would have dreamed in a million years that at age 70, I would be talking about bikinis still. So, you know, summer bodies are made in the winter. And
yes. Well, let's get into your angel. Your looks like the Arnold Classic Angel Bikini Fashion Show. It's March 7th and 8th. What's happening?
Well, the Angel Bikini, where I've been getting my bikinis for years, decided to get together and inspire women. So it's like a huge slumber party, and there's going to be 129 of us. It is expensive to do this, I'll have to tell you. You know, I'm on Social Security and semi-retired. I still do some nursing. and personal training, but it's going to be wonderful. They're going to be calling me on Monday, and they're going to design my outfit for this show. It's absolutely spectacular. It's like a glamour fashion show. It's just absolutely beautiful. There's going to be women from 18 to 80. And when I thought, well, I'll be the oldest person there. I usually am. And turns out, no. So I looked her up on Facebook. There is a beautiful girl coming. We're all little girls inside these bodies, Shelley.
That, I'll agree on that. Tell me, April, what is your training for something like this? We all know, you know, I've got to do a few more miles to get me to my half marathon Sunday. Well, not really. I guess I'm trained up. But how are you working your muscles so that they're defined, right?
Right. Well, I do it through my lifestyle. I just moved to an apartment and it has 18 stairs. So, and I have a dog, and I know you do too. And I highly recommend dogs because you're going to go out and take the dog for a walk, especially in an apartment. And my dog is a little older than me now, and he's in great shape.
Your dog's older than you?
Well, yeah, because, you know, a dog ages 7 years. Yeah, so we were 70 last year together, and now he's 77, and his birthday's Valentine's Day. But he eats like I do, and he exercises with me. He's been my best training partner in the world.
But you still have to, and yes, I'm all about advocating take the steps and walk the dog, but don't you have to lift weights and eat the right things?
Yep. Lifting my own body weight. I like to do body weight exercises at my age. I've really changed the way that I train. I still use dumbbells and barbells and kettlebells, but I love doing push-ups. I just got bunk beds because of my new apartment, and I have grandkids. I have six great grandbabies, and two are still in the oven, and they're coming out in March, and they're little girls. So my youngest little grandson visited for Christmas at my new apartment, and he just loved my bunk beds, and I do pull-ups on them. So I literally have a picture of me having the baby lay on me, and I'm doing pull-ups in my bunk bed.
There is a visual, but like you say, not everyone needs to join the gym and gym and spin, as they say. In closing, April, again, how can we follow? March 7th and 8th, where will you actually be showing?
Oh, this will be at the Arnold Expo in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, that was the first event that was canceled on my 65th birthday, and I was supposed to have the VIP dinner with Arnold. I really want to meet Arnold and thank him because I told you his Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding has been one of the best books I have ever. I still use it today because it's the basics. Just stick with the basics, you know, the push and the pull, the muscles. And then as far as eating, be sure and make sure you're getting your protein requirements. It's a lot more fun to eat those, you know, carbs, those processed foods, but I eat pretty clean, pretty much organic, most everything, but who's really policing that? I like to grow my own food. You can do it in the window. You can grow herbs and things like that. So make sure you're getting your protein requirements.
Taking notes as I'm trying to shift. Hey, I actually got an exclusive with one-on-one with Arnold way back in my cutting teeth days with WJR. I reached out to him, and yeah, he has big biceps. So I'll put a microphone right in his good face, and he gave me a sound bite, so I'll never forget that. So
that's awesome. That is awesome. You're so lucky.
Well, yeah, and I was new to the business, so I was, you know, it's always included in the keynote. All right, April, where do we find out more about you, your winnings, and your journey?
You can see me on Facebook, on my Facebook page, April Snow Craft with a C, C-R-A-F-T, same on Instagram. That's where you'll be seeing all the publicity for the upcoming show. They do a heck of a job. It's a lifetime dream to be considered to be in this fashion show. I do consider myself a fitness model. especially for longevity. I have earned it. I've been doing this since I was 28. I woke up on my 70th birthday, and I said, thank you, Lord Jesus.
I can't wait to talk to you on your 80th birthday. How's that for longevity? Hashtag more to do. All right, April Snowcraft, thank you. Good luck that early March and beyond. What's for lunch today?
What's for lunch today? Probably chicken, some rice, some broccoli. I think that's what I'm having today.
Sounds good. Thank you, April Snowcraft, for the work you do and, well, the body that you are presenting in fitness form. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Head to a Grand Rapids camper travel and RV show at Voss Place, opening up very soon. And I'll remind you, show manager, that that's happening. Good that you are here, Derek Lascioni, about this conversation. It's showtime. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Yes, all the campers and the travel venues lined up just to get in a couple days ago. So takes a lot behind the scenes, and I'm glad you bring it to us. And you open today, correct?
That's correct. We open today. All the RVs are in. The campgrounds are hustling, bustling, moving in right now. We've got all the accessories, everything you need to make your next trip spectacular.
Nice. Derek, would this be dubbed the largest show of its kind in the state of Michigan?
It would be. The amount of RVs, we've got 300-plus RVs packed in here, along with accessories, campgrounds, and all that sort of stuff, makes it the largest we've got in the state.
Great. All right, big picture, Grand Rapids Camper Travel and RV Show. Who needs to attend?
Who needs to attend? Well, if you are a couple looking to hit the road, if you are a large family, if you're retired, this show is for pretty much everybody. You know, whether you already own a camper or are looking to get into one, or you just need to find your next campground, this is definitely the show to attend for pretty much anybody that loves the outdoor lifestyle.
And what is the full run, please?
Thursday through Sunday. So we got Thursday 3 to 9, Friday 10 to 9, Saturday 12 to 9, and Sunday 11 to 5.
All of this can be found on a website, I bet.
I'll bet they can. GrandRapidsRVShow.com for tickets, dates, seminar schedules, and all the information you need to attend.
All right, Derek, let's get into the details. First of all, goodness gracious, does this mark a 20th anniversary of the show?
It sure does. We split from our sports show about 20 years ago and made it its own show.
And why its own show? I think we all know the answer.
Oh, we all know the answer. You can't fit this many RVs alongside one of our sports shows, so it demanded to be its own show.
Yes. So 300 RVs from a dozen West Michigan RV dealers. Remind me, I'm not required to buy my RV on the spot. How does it best work?
You are not required to buy it on site. If you want to buy it on site, you absolutely can. I would highly recommend getting the multi-day ticket that we have available on our website, which allows you to come back all 4 days for the same price of $18. And that way you can sleep on whatever unit you're looking at. But we have every RV from the small towable that you can tow with a little SUV to the giant motorhomes. And so, and you know, with that multi-day ticket, you can go home, sink it over, and then come back.
Very nice. All right. So what else? I guess let's move to the travel side. If one doesn't need an RV this year, I can just travel.
For sure. We have plenty of campgrounds from all over the state of Michigan. Plus, we have destinations from around the country, all represented in our campground and accessories aisle. Plus, we have things like, you know, you need tires or you need your diesel pusher's motor upgraded or you just want to walk around and get some cakes and chocolates. We've got all that sort of stuff all available.
All right. Vendors include campgrounds and travel destinations, as you mentioned, with a wide variety of activities and amenities. What is the state of camping these days?
Well, the state of camping is that everybody wants to get out and they want to do it on their own terms. Traveling in an RV is the best way to keep control of your own vacation. There's no Airbnb necessary. There's no none of that. You just schedule your own thing, leave when you want to, pick up when you want to, and you get to take your home with you.
That is kind of cool. Are we traveling more? I know you're the show manager, but I'm asking you camper travel and RV questions. Are we traveling more and more with our animals?
We absolutely are. Yep. With you know, keeping your animals with you is very important. So, you know, you don't have to watch for the Airbnb that allows pets. You don't have to make sure that the hotel, you know, allows pets. You bring your pet right with you, and you can pick out the camper that fits your pet right at the RV show.
Nice. Again, Derek Lancioni with a show manager, the Grand Rapids Camper Travel and RV Show with us. Tell me who is speaking, please.
Absolutely. We have Hutch and Sherry. Hutch and Sherry are with Freedom in a Can. About 13 years ago, they gave up their normal life to go live in a 1957 canned ham trailer. So they've been towing that around. They've seen every corner of this great country of ours. And they'll be teaching you all about traveling through America's national parks. They'll be teaching camp cooking. And one of their specialties is teaching you all about solar. So if you want to upgrade your camper to allow for solar so you don't have to have that plug-in at the campground, they are the best source of information for that. And the schedules for that can be found at GrandRapidsRPShow.com. And I highly recommend going there, looking at what seminars are available, and planning your trip around that time.
Yes, it does come down to trimming. Hutch and Sherry, the popular YouTube channel Freedom in a Can, yes?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What else do we need to know? What is this? I'm on your website, a popular RV accessory shop?
Absolutely. Right in the Grand Gallery, we have an accessory shop presented by General RV, and they have anything from mugs and placemats to silverware to accessories you might need for the camper toilet and self-leveling chocks, everything you might need. I always walk through there and find something to help my my vacation become just so much better.
Very nice. All right, and obviously kids are welcome, and I can eat on site at DeVos Place and more these next 3 days.
Absolutely. We have a campfire grill set up in our in the ballroom. We also have face painting on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have a climbing wall for kids, also located in the South Exhibit Hall. Kids, if you want to get a free admission, you can go to GrandRapidsRPShow.com, and you will find a coloring page there. And if you color that and bring it in, you can hand it right into our will call desk, and they'll give you a free ticket to the show.
Kids only, right?
That's kids only. No adults.
Okay, all right, just checking. Well, I say 3 days, three and a half since you opened today. What do you see when it comes to the next 20 years for a Grand Rapids Camper Travel and RV Show, Derek?
Well, we'll continue to grow the brand, and we'll make sure that we have the latest and greatest RVs here. Our dealers are always up on the latest trends and the latest RVs and technology and all of that. So who knows what the future may bring, but I do believe that this is the right way to travel, and I don't think the show's going anywhere.
Good, but tomorrow's not promised. I digress. Thank you very much. Hope you are well and stay well for the next two or three and a half more days. One more time, that website, Derek?
GrandRapidsRVShow.com.
As easy as that. Thank you. Happy camping.
Thank you.
Glamping and more. And you bet we have a pair of tickets for you if you're the second caller to head on over, 616-331-6712. Leave your name and number, 331-6712. You'll get an answering machine. And then we'll call you back if you're the winner for that Grand Rapids Camper Travel and RV Show. Vroom, vroom. Your inspiration for the day. According to Abraham Lincoln, always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any one thing.